It's game day. And this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Scottish Cup third round day. Romantic stories, potential shocks, guaranteed drama up and down the country as the big boys await in the next round. The last remaining top flight teams get ready to return to training. So will this be the last weekend before Michael Beale is named as Rangers manager? And the World Cup is still in full swing with one game ongoing and two more still to come later today. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me in the studio, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
You need a strong constitution to get involved in the romance of the cup today. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson came in here in a kayak. The weather's so bad out there, but big reputations on the line in the cup with some smaller teams looking to make the magical fourth round draw, where last night they would go to bed dreaming of being put up against Celtic or Rangers. None more so than East Kilbride, who go to Hamilton, bottom of the championship. That's what it's all about today. Your reputation's on the line.
Even though we're watching the World Cup and all the superstars every day of the week, it's good to have some domestic football back. 18 ties to look forward to today. And like you says, some smaller teams in there looking for a shot at some of the bigger sides in the next round. Obviously, it's Scottish Cup day, third round. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, World Cup and the Scottish Cup all in the 1 week. Delighted to
same glamour.
Yeah, it was exactly. And I'm sure I'm looking at some of these games, Gordon. Some good games on show this afternoon. Where's the cup shop? Where's the biggest cup shop? That's up to us to pick it out.
That is the question. I think what's always interesting about the cup, Mark, as well, is it can be a welcome break from the league, apparently, if you're not doing well. That's what they say. But then it can also bring its own pressure. We'll get to it in more detail, but at a glance, if you're Hamilton Accies and you're not having a good time in the league, the last thing you need is a cup shock against East Kilbride at home. And you know, you could apply that really throughout some of those fixtures. There will be some teams that their league campaign's going just fine, so if they were to get a disappointing cup defeat, yes, it would be frustrating, but they would survive it. There would be no big drama. But it can add that bit of pressure on top.
Of course, I don't think there's any doubt where the most pressure is today, because I think John Rankin, when the draw was made, would have looked at it and thought, I could have got a lot easier than East Kilbride. East Kilbride, who throw a few quid at it, who bring in a few ex-pros who have came down from full-time football to part-time, it's going to be a difficult day for John Rankin's side. But even when you look across the 18 fixtures we've got today, Gordon, I mean, some of the teams who are investing big money into their sides in the Highland League and the Lowland Leagues, looking for a shot at developing, looking for a shot at saying, we can compete. If we get out of these leagues, we can compete in the professional leagues. So it's always interesting at this level.
Hold on a minute. There's already one game ongoing this afternoon. It's Drumchapel against FC Edinburgh in the nicest way possible. Why are you here? I thought you would have been there with your kind.
In this weather, you're getting me on.
I see, you're a fair weather
fan. The Dazzler
fan
is keeping me up to date because he can get the result instantly on his telephone. The Nokia just won't do.
There must be no boxes, executive boxes.
Do you know what I've noticed?
That's why he's here.
How fickle this guy is. This time last year, it was all the bankies this and the bankies that on the bandwagon of their Scotty. He's dropped them like a hot potato because they're not in it anymore. And now he's all about the drum against FC Edinburgh.
I was born in Partick. I'm looking out for Partick Thistle result today against Kelty Hearts at Firhill. I lived in Drumchapel for 10 years. I told David Templeton on Super Scoreboard last night that I lived in Drumchapel. My wife lived in Drumchapel. We get married in Drumchapel. If Drumchapel don't win today, Templeton has got her to answer to.
I think that's still goalless at the moment, that one, Drumchapel FC Edinburgh. But it should be a fantastic afternoon. Yes, we are going to build up to some great Scottish Cup third round ties. We'll keep you across them when the action does indeed kick off, but it's a Saturday, so we'll look back on the week's biggest stories. We'll have a bit of fun, I'm sure, with some various nonsense, because that always happens when this lot are involved on Twitter. So get in touch all afternoon. That is the beauty of a Saturday. We like to keep you involved at Clyde SSB, and we will open the phones a bit later on for whatever you have on your mind. Let's go to Hamilton then, without further ado. We've already stolen a bit of your build-up, Andrew McLean. It's also an earlier kick-off than the rest of the games, which is an interesting story in itself. So Hamilton East Kilbride, take it away.
Yeah, it is indeed an earlier kick-off. We found out why on Super Scoreboard last night as well. It's because Hamilton and Clyde are ground-sharing this season. They were both drawn at home, and they both play their games here today in the third round of the Scottish Cup. So this one's been brought forward by half an hour just to minimise any potential overlap in operations between the two games, with Clyde hosting Dumbarton here at 7.45 tonight. I can't promise I'm going to stay on for that one, I'll be perfectly honest. But a big game for Hamilton boss John Rankin, you'd think as well. Bottom of the Championship, just one win in their last 11 league games, and be knocked out of the Cup to a Lowland League side is the last thing he needs at the moment. And a Lowland League side who fare pretty well in this competition. If you look at their history, they're regulars in the third round. They made it to the fourth round twice just before lockdown, and many will remember in 2016 when they made it to the fifth round and played Celtic as well. They're doing well in the league, their tails will be up, they'll back themselves, and they've got a few former Hamilton players in the squad as well. That could add a bit of extra edge to what already is a local derby here in Hamilton. As for the team news for Hamilton, Ryan Fulton in goal, the back four, Ellis Brown, Dan O'Reilly, Brian Easton and Matthew Shields. The two holding midfielders, Regan Mimnaugh and Scott Martin, with Dario Zanata, Andy Winter and Lewis Smith in behind Andy Ryan. The substitutes, Smith, Teehee, Owens, McGinn, one for Scythe, Latona, Black and Morgan. As for East Kilbride, five at the back for them today. Curtis Lyle in goal, the back five, Dylan McDonald, Logan Dunnicky, Stephen Bronski, Connor Morgan and Kyle Munro. The three central midfielders, Neil McLaughlin, Gary Miller and Ronan Hughes, Cammy Elliott and Bob McHugh, the strike force for them today. The substitutes, Miller, Taylor, Page, Call, Hughes, Black, Vittoria and Maguire. The referee here today is Grant Irvin.
I mean, what's that great fact, Andrew McLean, East Kilbride, the biggest town in Scotland to never have had a top flight football team? Is that right? I'm sure I read that not so long ago. Is that the... Do you think, Andrew, there's a sort of bit of significance attached to this fixture, that maybe the people who are involved at East Kilbride and who want to be ambitious look at Hamilton Accies and think, well, why not? You know, why can't we get to those heights at some point?
Yeah, I think certainly. And, you know, you look at the East Kilbride team as well. They've got guys in there that have played at a higher level. They've got guys in there that have played first team games for Hamilton, and they'll feel that they can come here and they maybe feel as if they've got a point to prove as well, because they've been close to getting into the SPFL a couple of times. We know how tough it is to get through the pyramid system into the top four tiers, but East Kilbride have shown that ambition. They've got players like Gary Miller, their captain, who's played at the likes of St Johnstone and Ross County. Kyle Munro's played first team football here. Bob McHugh has played for a good few teams across the SPFL as well. So these are players that want to show what they can do against a championship side. And when you look at the form of the two teams, Hamilton right at the bottom of the championship and East Kilbride near the top of the Lowland League. Gary Miller, we spoke to him on Super Scoreboard last night. He seemed quietly confident about it, and I think that'll be the feeling amongst the whole East Kilbride team.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Gordon Dale, you have been in and around East Kilbride at various, and I don't mean like the shopping centre or anything like that, yeah, you know, cinema. Round the roundabout. I meant the actual football club. And yes, of course, the priority remains getting out of that Lowland League, which they've come close-ish to doing a couple of times, and then you wonder if this is the year. But what a sign of intent this would be, to go just down the road, bit of a local derby, as Andrew McLean says, and get that win.
They'll fancy it. That there's no doubt, Gordon. I know the people up there, they're very ambitious. They've been unlucky a few times. They've got some good players, some guys that Andrew quite rightly pointed there that have played at a good level, good experience, along with some young players. It's a very well-run football club, and they deserve to be higher. They put a lot of effort, a lot of money into it. That'll be a test for Hamilton, but I've watched Hamilton against Ayr, and I know last week up at Dundee they lost as well, but I just think that they're a result away from getting a bit of confidence back. They've got younger players, they've got good experience. I think Hamilton will just sneak that today, Gordon, but it'll be a difficult game.
Yeah, I mean, flip that on its head then, Hugh. Maybe this is the kickstart that Hamilton need. Yes, it is lower league opposition. Yes, they'd expect to win. Yes, that brings its own pressure, but just go out, get back to winning ways, restore a bit of confidence. Maybe it can work in a positive sense rather than the gloomy picture that I painted earlier.
A dull, dark day like today brings out the grim reaper in me. I see it as the last thing that John Rankin needs at this time. They've lost 31 goals in that championship. They're rooted to the foot of the table. And the SPFL is all about evolution, and that's why East Kilbride Thistle will be feeling good about themselves today, because they have the dream.
No, not East Kilbride Thistle. You've just added the, that's another team in East Kilbride. Just leave it at East Kilbride.
East Kilbride have that dream
the Thistle
of joining the SPFL one day. I mean, we have Bonnyrigg Rose there, we have Kelty Hearts there, we have teams that we never thought would be in the league, and that's the dream for them. Even Drumchapel United one day dream of having an SPFL club up the drum, as we call it.
It would be quite something if EK Thistle were in there, I must admit. They've got a bit to go yet. Let's go. Well, I'll tell you what then. Speaking of, you know, recently ambitious clubs who've started to climb their way up Scottish football's pyramid, David Friel is it a big one today? Partick Thistle against Kelty Hearts, David.
Yeah, it's a big one, Gordon. Kelty are very ambitious up against a Partick Thistle team who obviously haven't been in great form, but we're looking to get a win today and progress in the cup. It's actually first ever competitive meeting between these two teams. We've played a couple of friendlies, but never competitively. Problem is, Gordon, I'm not sure how many Partick Thistle fans are actually going to be here to see it. The Jags Foundation Group are boycotting the match in protest at the PTFC Trust's handling of the fan ownership model. All is not well among the Firhill fans right now. They're urging the fans not to enter the John Lambie Stand due to protest outside the stadium at 2:40, and then again during the match. So it's a complicated situation. I've been trying my head around it. It seems like a bit of a civil war. They want fan ownership, but just maybe have suspicions or concerns over how it's been played out. But I think it's fair to say a large section of the Thistle support aren't happy with the way the club has been run. Ian McCall has to concentrate on the football. It's obviously not ideal for him. Again, you know, as I said, you know, it's a really, really tricky cup tie against Kelty Hearts here today. This will be in poor form, but the 3-0 win over Arbroath last week, that kind of stopped to rot, and I think they'll be looking to build on that today. Kelty have won one in the last four. They're currently 8th in League 1, but John Potter does have plenty of experience in his squad, and it's about a friends reunited today. There's four ex-Partick Thistle players in his lineup: Tam O'Weir, Joe Cardo, Jamie Bird-Jonas and Callum Higginbottom, all very, very good players. So you can bet the Kelty boys will be fired up today, and I think Thistle could probably do without all the off-field distractions I just spoke about. Ian McCall has made two changes from that one over our bro. Stuart Bannigan and Ross Dockery are back in midfield for Lee Hodgson and Aidan Fitzpatrick. So it looks like a 4-3-3 formation. Jamie Sneddon in goals, Jack McMillan, Alan Muirhead, Darren Brownlee and Harry Millen at the back, Stuart Bannigan, Ross Dockery and Kyle Turner in midfield, with Stephen Lawless and Cole McKinnon supporting Brian Graham. Subs for Thistle are Mitchell, Dowd, Smith, Hodgson, Weston, Akinola, Millen, Fitzpatrick and Lyon. As for Kelty, they lost 1-0 to Edgell last weekend. John Potter's made three changes. Darren James, the goalkeeper, he's out. Cammy Logan and Jason Thompson as well, with Liam Campbell, Tam O'Weir and Michael Tidzer back in. So it's a 4-4-2 formation. Liam Campbell in goals, Jordan Foster, Tam O'Weir, Lewis Martin and Rhys Peggy at the back. Joe Cardo, Michael Tidzer, Jamie Bird-Jonas, Darren Lyon in midfield, with Alfredo Aguiman and Callum Higginbottom up front. Subs for Kelty are Jameson Logan Lowe, Austin McNabb, McGill, Cameron Kamga and Doherty, and the referee at Firhill is Craig Napier.
I think there's the danger, David, that this is a Partick Thistle side who, yes, got back to winning ways last week, but overall would still be considered in poor form. We spoke about that pressure, like Hamilton Accies, you know, what sort of reaction would be there if it was to be a cup defeat this afternoon? And then on top of that, can the players be distracted, do you think, by protests and fans watching from the canal side or wherever it is, rather than being inside the stadium?
Yeah, I certainly think they can be distracted, because they're probably where the changing rooms are, and I think the fans were going to be out there about 2:40 just in front of them. I think they'll definitely hear it, and I mean, there's hardly, I mean, honestly, there must be a couple of dozen Partick Thistle fans in this ground just now, and I know it's only 2:15, but you would imagine a few more. So I think they will potentially be distracted, but you're right in what you're saying. You know, 1-1 doesn't change the fact that Thistle had been such a bad run. I think it was 5 defeats in a row. Last week, you know, it was a good win eventually. I think at times Arbroath gave them a really good game, could have scored a goal as well or two. So yeah, I think Ian McCall, judging by the team he's put out, is definitely taking this extremely seriously and wants another win. You know, you look back to that game at Pittodrie in the Premier Sports Cup, that came at a cost for Partick Thistle. You know, Aberdeen won 4-1 and they also lost a few players, Thistle, so it's pretty damaging. The run kind of started from then. So I just wondered whether he'd maybe freshen things up today, but he's not. He's gone really, really strong, and I think Ian McCall wants, you know, wants a comprehensive win today.
Yeah, looking forward to that one hugely. Partick Thistle against Kelty Hearts, and all these talk so far about young ambitious clubs and trying to climb their way up. Roger Hannah, you've got one of those bread and butter old fashioned Scottish Cup ties at Dens Park.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. Dundee versus Airdrie. I phoned Gordon Dale last night, Gordon, to get my stats and all my info in the Diamonds.
Must have been a short phone call.
Amazing. Amazingly, these sides haven't met for over 12 years. I couldn't believe it. 2010, they last met. Airdrie won 3-1 at home to Dundee, and they also won on their last trip to Dens Park a couple of months earlier on, but they might have their work cut out today. Dundee sit third in the Championship after three straight wins and are seven undefeated in the league. They're just 1 point behind the leaders, Ayr United. Now, as for Airdrie, down in sixth in League One, they're still just 2 points off the promotion places. Three wins and a draw in their last four games, but there's a great contrast between the managers today. Gary Bowyer, in his 50s, a veteran of spells at Blackburn Rovers, Blackpool, Bradford City, Salford before he came up the road, against Rhys McCabe, aged 30, just his 22nd game as a boss. He was once signed by Mark Wilson for Brechin City, and he now occupies the role that Mark held here with the Diamonds. Although, interestingly, Gordon, he doesn't appear to be burdened by a director of football. Dundee 1-0 here. Fraser Wishart saw them beating Hamilton last Saturday. Paul McMullen get a goal. Three changes for Bowyer today, and two are enforced. Tyler French, the right wing-back, and Zach Robinson, the striker, both injured. Killian Sheridan drops to the bench after returning from a lengthy injury absence last week. We think there's going to be a change of formation as well to a 4-4-2 for Dundee today. So it's Ian Lawler in goal again. Back four, Cammy Kerr, Ryan Sweeney, Lee Ashcroft and Jordan McGee. Midfield, Josh Mulligan comes in, Sean Byrne, Ben Williamson and Max Anderson comes into the team as well. And up top, McMullen, match winner last week, will be partnered by Zach Rudden. On the bench, it's Legsdens, Sharp, McCowan, Robertson, Osi, Cameron, Jakubiak, Sheridan and Grayson. Airdrie were also 1-0 home winners last week against Kelty Hearts. Callum Gallagher, not that one, he scored the goal. And the only change today sees the inclusion of player-manager McCabe at the expense of 8-goal Lewis Jamieson, who's not involved in the matchday squad at all today. So it's Dean Lannis in goal, a back four, Cammy Ballantyne, Craig Watson, Callum Fordyce and Ewan Devaney. A midfield, Justin Devaney, Dean McMaster, Rhys McCabe, Charlie Telfer and Callum Smith. And up top in his own is Callum Gallagher. On the bench, Henderson, Taylor Sinclair and Spalding, Gunn, Watt and Fellows, Kavanagh and McGill. And the referee at Dens Park this afternoon is Lloyd Wilson.
Now, like every successful team, every now and then you get struck down by a sickness bug in the camp. We're a couple of games short, I think, this afternoon from what we were hoping to do. But Roger Hannah, there's some brilliant fixtures out there. I wonder what else catches your eye, because even the sort of less glamorous names, if you like, there's still some massive gaps in standing within Scottish football. You look at even Cove Rangers just now, you know, in the Championship, taking on Dunipace, for instance. You go right down them and see various examples of Highland League against SPFL opposition, Fraserburgh against Arbroath. I mean, quite a few divisions separating those sides as well. There's a lot to look forward to in that card this afternoon.
Well, there is, and there was a couple that stood out. One you mentioned there, Fraserburgh against Arbroath. I spoke to Dick Campbell last Saturday at Firhill immediately after a 3-0 defeat for Arbroath at Partick Thistle, and he brought up Fraserburgh in the Scottish Cup, a trip away up there. I mean, it comes to something when the people of Arbroath are worried about going to an away game in wild conditions. But the fact that he was bringing it up last Saturday night, I think Arbroath, down near the bottom of the Championship, must be concerned that that could be a banana skin. And the other one, David Friel, last Saturday, watch Raith Rovers lose 5 at home to Queen's Park. After you've lost 5 goals at home, the last people you want visiting you are Auchinleck Talbot, a side who have beaten Ayr United, they've beaten Hamilton Accies, they've pushed Hearts really close in the Scottish Cup in recent years. So that one at Starks Park this afternoon, I know Daz will have an eye on that, and that could be an interesting one too.
Absolutely, and you look at even local to us, teams that are on very good runs in the league. Morton taking on Queen of the South, talking about ambitious clubs at the down the pyramid, Darvel going to Montrose. There is so much to look forward to, so hopefully we can enjoy a bit of the romance, as they call it. No top flight action today, no league action in fact, but that doesn't mean we change our habits too much on a Saturday. We will be right back to reflect on the week's biggest talking points, and it appears there's been somewhat of a development in Rangers' managerial hunt as well.
Action as it happens, your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale in the studio. We've got the top team out and about, looking forward to some fantastic Scottish Cup third round ties. It's already half time in one of them, and it's Drumchapel 0 FC Edinburgh 0. Fairly balanced game there. In fact, there's already one team through, of course, Alloa Athletic, with a very late penalty to beat open goal Broomhill last night. So Alloa already through. Now, at this stage on a Saturday, whether it's a league Saturday, a cup Saturday, a World Cup break Saturday, we tend to look back on some of the week's biggest talking points. And Roger Hannah, there has only been one story that's been dominating Glasgow's football scene this week. It's Rangers' hunt for a new manager. And it's this afternoon, looks like Rangers have now made that official approach to QPR to speak to Michael Beale. Yes, that's an update. Yes, that's new. I'm not sure that's much of a surprise to people, or if that changes a great deal.
No, I mean, listen, everyone's known from day one that Michael Beale is the top target for Rangers. They were going to try and convince Michael Beale to leave QPR, which is probably tougher than you would think. You know, he's already knocked back the opportunity to go to Wolves in the English Premier League, and at the time spoke about, you know, the integrity of staying with the project at QPR. He had bought into it, he wanted players to buy into it, and how could he be the first guy to, you know, to jump ship at the chance of a move? So I don't think it was quite as simple as, Michael, do you want the job? Yes, I want the job. There's a lot of things that needed to be ironed out this week. Who he brings with him, of course, Gordon, because Giovanni Van Bronckhorst had five or six of a backroom staff, all of whom will be leaving the club. And as we've said before, there is a large to-do list for the next Rangers manager. And I think Michael Beale would probably want to discuss with the Rangers board where they stand with Ryan Kent's contract, where they stand with Alfredo Morelos' contract, what's happening with the loan players, Malik Tillman, James Sands, people like that. Are they, you know, will Michael Beale still have a say on whether they stay long term or don't? So, you know, we're very impatient in the media. We are guilty of it. We want everything done within 24 hours. But I think it's probably understandable that due diligence was done, not only by Rangers, but by Michael Beale as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that, because time just moves so quickly in football, doesn't it? And I always wonder what it'd be like to time travel. So let me take you all back to exactly 7 days ago on this show.
I do believe Giovanni Van Bronckhorst still has backers within the Ibrox boardroom.
I thought, well, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is staying as Rangers manager. That was my kind of sense. For me, he will be in charge when Rangers play Hibs on December the 15th.
I don't think they'll make any change, and I've got no problem with that. And I think he's safe for now.
I'm convinced he's got to stay now. Right, I think they're going to go with him.
Yeah, but I'm
but because
surprised.
Of this week.
Because of this week, yeah.
Clearly, Rangers' strategy is, let's hope that Rangers beat Hibs and Celtic drop points at Pittodrie.
Ah, the top team, eh?
Doesn't it look good for us, that, does it?
Well, I mean, I move from one mistake to another with no loss of a
See,
days.
At least you're consistent on that. But Roger Hannah, David Friel, you've all been hanging around with Hugh Keevans too long.
Whoa. I said, if you listen, play it back. I said he still had backers on the board. He did. He just didn't have enough of them,
oh,
Gordon.
Right, David Friel, that's a flimsy defence.
Thank you very much.
Can you offer any?
I'll just fail this under shock U-turn, Gordon, by Rangers.
But I think the time for pretense is now over. I mean, all this running around asking QPR for permission. I mean, QPR, Les Ferdinand knew the game was up the minute Rangers were interested in Michael Beale. Michael Beale, I am absolutely certain, was convinced he was going to Rangers, and that, you know, the time for pretense is over. He'll be there on Monday morning when the players get into Ibrox for training, and that is a good thing for the players, because if players come back after the break they've had to find that no one is there, then I don't think that's good for their morale and their mindset. So he'll be there on Monday. Stand on me.
Well, I don't think we can after last week, but certainly Roger Hannah, does this have an air of inevitability about it? I'm not for a second suggesting the Rangers board aren't interviewing other people, aren't looking around at options, but they're managing to keep it incredibly quiet, and all the talks about Michael Beale, and it just seems tough to see this end any other way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and listen, we're all a little bit cynical on this show. When a request goes into another club for permission to speak to their manager, that usually means that the deal's already been done with the manager's agent. He knows exactly what he's getting and when he's starting and what's happening, and the official permission to speak to the man himself is the sort of last thing that's done. So I would think this would move quickly now. I think QPR will give permission to speak to Michael Beale, and I think he will be in Glasgow very, very soon.
Yeah, I agree with Roger. I think we're all safe in this one, Gordon. I think that it was only one candidate. We've bummed it up all week about, is he the right fit? We've had a mixed bag with the Rangers supporters, let's be honest about it. There are a big percentage out there, you know, delighted to see him back, all these good things about coaching and getting the best out of the players and working with players that he knows from his time with Steven Gerrard. And then you've got the doubters looking at, well, he's jumping ship, QPR, and he's a bad run. What was it, 1 point out of 15 or whatever it may be? He's not been a manager that long. Bit of negativity. I think it's exciting things ahead for Rangers. It's toss a coin for me, I've got to be honest. Biggest, we are sitting the fence with
the
this.
The biggest conundrum for me is that we all know he's a terrific coach, the places he's worked, the people he's worked with, and that we had an eyewitness account last night on Super Scoreboard from Cammy Bell talking about going to a Rangers training session when Steven Gerrard was there, and everything was done by Michael Beale. What we have to find out is, can a great coach be a great manager? Because it's a different job, it's a different skill set. He's had 21 games as a manager at QPR. He's only won 9 of them. So we have to find out if the great coach can manage things going on in the club.
Because with QPR, when he took the job, he's continued to say it was a project and he had this grand plan for it and building things up. Everybody knows when you come to Rangers, you can't come out with statements like, this is a project and it'll take time, because it just won't wash with the Rangers fans.
It probably could have when he arrived first time.
Yes.
Because they were miles off Celtic and, you know, had distance to make up. And in fact, had distance to make up on Aberdeen, first of all.
Yeah, but he's taken on a team now who were in the Europa League final. And that sticks in the memory, quite right, of Rangers fans, and they demand success. There will be no, this is a project that may take a year to get right, because by that time, Celtic are far in the distance. So Hugh's right, a great coach doesn't necessarily mean he'll be a great manager. The team that he brings in round about him is going to be so important as
You've
well.
You've got three players, for example, Alan McGregor, 40 years old, Stephen Davis, 37 years old, Scott Arfield, 34 years old. What are you going to do with them short term? And then you've got the famous Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Kent double act. Both used to be good players. Both have turned into not so useful players. What are you going to do with them with their contract expiring? All of these things, the good coach is going to have to work out how to be a good man manager now.
Roger Hannad, is it important symbolically that he's there for the Rangers, he or whoever it is there for the Rangers players returning to training on Monday?
Yeah, I think it is, Gordon. I think the players would expect that. They've had a couple of weeks off. They will be hurting because, you know, they will feel partly responsible for the demise of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and his backroom team. My understanding is that, you know, a lot of the players have stayed close to Michael Beale since he left the club a year ago. I think it would be naive to think they weren't expecting Michael Beale to come back to the club. So I would imagine if he's there to welcome them through the gates at Auchenhowie on Monday, that would give them a lift again. But it's up to them, as we've said for weeks and weeks and weeks in this show. Rangers, as a squad of footballers, are dramatically underachieving this season, Gordon. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst couldn't get a tune out of them this season at all. Maybe other than a couple of games against PSV Eindhoven, or, you know, one in Eindhoven and one at home to the Belgians, Gilles, in the previous round. Other than that, they have been ordinary at best. So whoever comes in now needs to get a tune out of them, otherwise this season will just peter out for Rangers.
I mean, what does that mean, Roger Hanna? An announcement later today, perhaps? Or would you expect it to rumble on just that little bit further?
You know something, I honestly don't know whether there'll be one later today or not. I certainly think there will be one in the next 48 hours confirming that Michael Beale is the new manager. But strange things happen in Scottish football, Gordon. You always leave yourself a little bit of wriggle room in moments like this.
This is the panto season. You have to pretend that you just thought of the idea of approaching QPR today.
Well, this is the thing, Hugh, sorry to interrupt, because on that, it also seemed, I am personally of the belief, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, the Rangers have spoken to Michael Beale already. So I don't really know how this stuff works then, that you, now it's a big drama that there's an official approach being made to the club if you've already spoken to Michael Beale anyway.
Yeah, you have to go through the panto. You have to say, we have approached to QPR, and then you have to pretend that you've never spoken to Michael Beale before. Therefore, you've got to make it look good. You can't do it today, because then you're giving away the panto script. So, tomorrow, there'll be an announcement tomorrow.
I mean, David Friel, like we said earlier, boards will certainly always say that they've looked at options. I assume most times they actually do that anyway, and that they're not just saying it. It would be interesting to to know if we ever will. Even some of the Rangers fans would maybe like to hear some other names, just out of curiosity and just to know that other options were looked at.
Yeah, 100%. I think every sporting director in Ross Wilson, I think when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst got the job, said that they'd already done their due diligence on a number of candidates, and they always had to be prepared in case Steven Gerrard left. I'm sure they were preparing for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst certainly potentially being sacked. So yeah, I'm sure there was other candidates. You know, you look at the Bodo Glimt manager. There was kind of reports coming out of Brazil this morning that the Botafogo manager was under consideration and stuff like that. And I'm sure there were names on the list, but for me, Rangers have had tunnel vision from day one. It's been all about Michael Beale, and it's been to get to this stage, as you said, where they can actually go to QPR, safe in the knowledge that Michael Beale's about to say yes and say, we'd like to speak to our manager, please, and we'll be taking him. And I think, you know, just as Roger said, I think Michael Beale will be Rangers manager in the next 48 hours.
There's also a very not so insignificant detail, but there's a £1.5 million clause in his contract which says that's what Rangers will have to pay to get him from QPR. So unless they've got some fancy dancing in mind to get around that one, it'll be £1.5 million up here tomorrow and at work Monday morning.
Do you, and again, I appreciate I'm asking a bit of guesswork from you, Roger Hannah, which you will all be reluctant to do given how bad your guesswork was last weekend. I do appreciate that. But is it more likely for you that Michael Beale's desire to be Rangers manager is not going to be the sticking point here? It might just be finer details surrounding who joins him on his coaching staff or any other details that might be included.
I tend to think it probably all of the groundwork, 99% of the groundwork has been done already. All of that will have been agreed. You find that there are very few managers, and I think Ange Postecoglou is one of the few who move clubs and don't really take at least one or two members of staff with them. I know he's appointed Harry Kewell since then, but you know, when he came to the club, he inherited the Celtic staff. That doesn't really happen too often. Look at when Steven Gerrard and Michael Beale left a year ago. Everybody went with them. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst brought all of his team in with him. Now they've all gone out the building, Gordon. So Michael Beale will probably have a bit of scope to rebuild a Rangers backroom team. It'll be interesting to see who he does bring in. There's been a lot of chat about a Scottish assistant manager, maybe someone with a Rangers background, and there might be someone in the setup. But you know, Michael Beale's got guys he's worked with in the past as well that he might well want at his side coming up to help him, because this is a monumental job. As you touched upon, being a very good, highly rated coach is one thing. Being manager of Rangers is another thing. You said 21 games in his career. I think he's only won 9 games. There's an element of risk in every managerial appointment, of course there is. I think there's an element of risk in this one.
I mean, David Friel, it's such a fascinating comparison, as we get tempted into doing with lots of things in Glasgow. Ange Postecoglou does sort of buck the trend, came in, didn't bring anyone, and just sort of got on with it. But if we are to spend hours upon hours on this show and various column inches in your newspapers talking about how the reason Michael Beale is such a good candidate for this job for some people is because of the integral role he played under Steven Gerrard, then I assume it won't be lost on Michael Beale that the structure of his backroom staff needs to be right.
Yeah, it has to be spot on, and this is the thing, and just to touch on what everybody says so far, everybody you speak to in football, Gordon, tells you Michael Beale is one of the best coaches around. You know, I've spoken to people who have been in coaching courses when he's done presentations, and he's saying he's blown everyone away. But when you're the Rangers manager, not the first team coach, you have so much more on your plate. You have to deal with transfers, you have to deal with players' problems, you're dealing with everything, and that's why I think this is a big risk for Rangers as well, because if Michael Beale, top class coach, how does that then translate into management when he's making all the decisions, when he's facing the pressure, the scrutiny, everything else? I don't know if 21 games in the Championship for QPR is enough to prepare you for Rangers. I don't know if 10 years in the Championship with QPR would be enough to prepare you for Rangers, but I think it's a huge, huge risk. But he has to get his coaching staff absolutely spot on, because he won't have as much time to devote to training plans, sessions, all that sort of stuff, because he'll have a million other things in his entry.
Yes, absolutely. Well worth considering. And you never know. Just maybe we'll get some sort of announcement before we go off here tonight at 6 o'clock. You never know. But it might be over the weekend. We will find out. We've got some fantastic Scottish Cup ties to look forward to, and we will go back around the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I've got good news for you, Hugh Keevans. It's the update that everyone's been waiting on. Not a managerial announcement. It's a goal for the Drum. They're 1-0 up against FC Edinburgh.
You see?
It's went to VAR though, yeah.
David Templeton, the only man to have scored a goal against Liverpool at Anfield and played for Drumchapel. I warned him last night, you will have Lady Kevens to answer to if Drumchapel don't win. So
it's inspired them. It was a goal mouth scramble. Doherty puts the drum ahead after McKenzie's effort was deflected. It's scrambled over the line. The players all run off and slide towards the corner flag in celebration. Some youngsters behind the goal waving their flags in joy. And the FC Edinburgh players don't quite know what's hit them.
You described that in sync with what's happening on the TV behind you just now.
So I did. Exactly. Poland, Saudi Arabia nil. Well, I was looking down. I was looking at my computer screen, so I'd like to say I meant it.
Lewandowski with the drum.
That's right. It was the exact same. Slid into the corner. Yeah. Kids behind the goal.
Well, with no disrespect to the fine people of Maryhill, the surroundings look a bit different from the footage that I've just watched.
Well, just listen to David Friel at Firhill and the wind is howling.
But Poland are now 2-0 up on Saudi Arabia. Lewandowski gets his goal, I think, was it? After missing a penalty the other night. And it's horrendous defending from Saudi Arabia, which is a shame because they've been excellent in the second half. I can't actually believe they're trailing, Gordon.
Yeah.
But the ball, picture the scene, it gets rolled along the 18-yard box to the centre back. He tries to let it come across his body, but he forgets to actually control the ball, and Lewandowski just nips it off him and dispatches.
Yeah. The minute he gets the ball, I looked at Mark, 2-0. You're always confident, world-class striker, but you're right.
Mind you,
was a terrible mistake.
He missed a penalty in the last game.
He did. He's making up for it. And in fact, Saudi Arabia have missed a penalty in this game as well. It's been a decent game, you have to say, but we've got Scottish Cup on our minds. Let's go back to Partick Thistle against Kelty Hearts. David Friel, any signs yet of that sort of protest or fans gathering outside? What can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, the main stand where the sort of press box is starting to fill up, but the John Lambie stand behind the goal where the kind of protest, the people protesting normally stand, is very sparse, Gordon. I don't know, maybe 30 people in it just now. There are some fans, so we'll see. I think they were moving along at about 2:40, as I was saying, just outside the front, and then I think they're going back to the canal to protest during the game. So, as I said, not ideal. Obviously, there are kind of real problems within the Thistle support in terms of the ownership as well. I think Jerry Britton, the chief executive, is trying to sort of kind of act as a mediator here, but I don't know how it will all play out, because I think Jackie Lowe, the ex-chairperson, she's still involved as well, and you know, I think there's a lot to iron out before the majority of Thistle fans are going to be happy here.
On a purely footballing sense, Ian McCall could be, understatement coming here, could be doing without any sort of shock, any sort of drama that his team would be on the receiving end of today, David.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. I think you can tell that by his team. As I said earlier, he's gone pretty much as strong as he possibly can. Promotion's the priority of a Partick Thistle. I think Ian McCall's been pretty open about that. I mean, speaking a couple of weeks ago, and I think Falkirk had beaten Partick in the SPFL Trust Trophy, and someone said he disappointed, and he said, to be honest with you, no, because he didn't really want the extra games. It's all about promotion. But yeah, given the results in recent weeks and the pressure he's been under, and he has been under pressure, obviously been callers on the show and everything, asking for change potentially, so he knows he has to win this today against a team who they should be beating on paper. But as I spoke about earlier, you just look at that Celtic Hearts team and the experienced ex-Thistle boys, guys like Michael Tidzer for me should be playing in the Championship at the very least. So I think this will be a tough game for Thistle today.
Yeah, what about Dens Park then? Dundee against Airdrie. Roger Hanna, I don't know, where would this rank on the shockometer? I mean, it's clearly different divisions, but would it be that big a deal if Airdrie went and managed to get the victory?
No, possibly not, because I think Gary Bowyer probably falls into the same camp as Ian McCall. I don't think he'll be too bothered about Scottish Cup progress this season. It's all about taking Dundee back in to the Premiership at the first attempt. I can assure you, Gordon, that Rangers might not have a manager, but there still are football operations going on, because Rangers and Dundee legend John Brown is sitting in front of me. He's wrestled my team sheet off me just to confirm that young Ben Williamson on loan from Rangers to Dundee does start this afternoon, and indeed he does. So he's quite happy at that knowledge. I've won the fight, I've got the team sheet back, and he passes on his best to Hugh and everyone in the studio. But I don't think Dundee will be too bothered about this today. They'd like to get through to the draw on Monday night, but the priority up here is to get back into the Premier League. They've kept a lot of the players that were relegated last season, you know, the likes of Jordan McGee, Cammy Kerr, Paul McMullen, Sean Byrne, they're all still here, and I think that decision was taken with a view to bouncing straight back, to doing what Kilmarnock did 12 months in front of them, go down, go straight back up and then rebuild again. So they'll want to win today. I don't think they would think it was a crisis if they were eliminated.
Right, come on then, where are we getting our shock today, Roger Hannah? I've let you all dance around it long enough. We're 9 minutes away from kickoff. Where's it going to be?
You know something, I think Andrew McLean might see it in the early kickoff, Hamilton against East Kilbride.
Now that would be a big one. That absolutely would be. Anything tickling your fancy, David Friel?
I think East Kilbride as well, and I don't know if that should be classed as a shock, but I wonder where Kelty Hearts will get a wee result today.
Okay, anything for you three duds in the studio?
Well, clubs with internal strife, like Partick Thistle, rarely prosper. That's why it was such a relief for everyone when that 3-0 win against Arbroath came along last weekend. And now today it's protests outside the ground, sack the board chanting. So I do think they had better be careful, and I do think that John Rankin had better be careful as well. But I don't think there is a shock. I think that Hamilton will survive by the skin of their teeth, and likewise Partick Thistle.
Oh, the shock's already happening. Yes. Drumchapel,
yeah,
against Edinburgh.
Well,
just
of course,
now.
That's true.
But I am going to go for University of Stirling to beat Albion Rovers.
Ah, see, Mark's all about the academics. Yeah. He thinks it's about time a uni team made
they
it to the latter stages.
Look about and remember where you were when I pronounced my shock. Sauchie Juniors to beat Linlithgow Rose away from home.
Is that much of a shock?
Massive.
I mean, two teams, neither of which are in the SPFL.
Can I hear Hannah laughing in the background?
Roger Hannah, I think were you about to give us some more insight?
No, I was just laughing at Daz. What on earth does Gordon Dale know about Linlithgow Rose or Sauchie Juniors?
I've been to Linlithgow Rose with my team. I know it's a very difficult away ground, but Sauchie are a very good side, good footballing side.
Roger, give the bomber my very best regards. Back again, what a man.
Oh yes, he's sitting in front of me. He's got his baseball cap on at a jaunty angle. I think he likes coming back up to Dens. He's treated the same way that Gordon Dale is treated when he goes to Starts Park. He's treated like a lord. Everyone's up shaking him by the hand, welcoming him back.
That's because they're terrified of him. Would you like to meet him on a dark night?
Here's one for you. None of you have mentioned. Just purely on the logistics of it all, Falkirk going to Wick Academy, the most northerly team in the Scottish Cup, furthest you can possibly go.
Yeah.
It's a 5-hour drive there, it's a 5-hour drive back. I took part in the Scottish Cup draw. I had barely got the last ball out, and Stephen McGinn, friend of the show, and Falkirk player text straight away to say nightmare. Wick Academy, Hugh.
Well, I mean, there's a time difference. They've got a different currency.
They launch Channel 5 next week though, and
Falkirk last Saturday 3-3 draw with Jim Duffy's Clyde. They blow hot and cold, but I like the McGinn family, so I hope that Stephen is successful.
I did look at that one, but I don't know a lot about Wick. I've not been there.
Oh, so just you're more of a Sauchie expert.
I'm more
expert,
a Sauchie expert, yeah. If anybody wants to know, phone in 0141 95. What is it?
You know they're in the you do know they're in the same division and they're separated by two places.
Are they?
Your next question is which division?
Yeah, what division?
East of Scotland League.
Oh, I'm thinking of Linlithgow Rose. I've got the wrong Rose.
What? What is he talking about?
Rose? I'm now very confused. Right, what's going on here?
I'm thinking of the wrong team.
But I'm still thinking of Bonnie Rigg Rose.
I'm thinking of Bonnie Rigg Rose.
You got your roses mixed up.
Yeah, I got my roses.
It's not the first time that's
anyway, it's still a shock because they're away from home. Sauchie is the shock of the day.
Well, I'll tell you what, Andrew McLean, he's already watching that game that many of you are predicting that there's the shock. It's goalless so far between Hamilton and East Kilbride. He's gone for Pollock to shock Ayr on Monday night. Now, that would be quite something.
Not a chance.
Guys, we could be on the brink of it anyway, Hugh, and it's your team because Drumchapel, west of Scotland, Scotland League, so below the Lowland League, for instance, and they currently lead FC Edinburgh with about 25 minutes to go.
Well, that would easily qualify as the shock of
the day.
Absolutely. Easily. And as I said earlier on, everyone went to bed last night dreaming of the fourth round draw, and when it comes out, Drumchapel United will play Celtic. I mean, can you imagine?
I think they'll get you to present the match ball onto the pitch.
You would certainly
happens.
Be down in that game, Hugh.
Oh,
the weather wouldn't stop you then.
I'd be the club mascot.
Anyway, big games coming up at 3 o'clock. We're looking forward to them. We'll do a first half teaser and your usual Saturday afternoon entertainment / nonsense, whichever way you look at it, coming up next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dyell are here. We've got the top team out and about because it's Scottish Cup Day. I always really look forward to this because this is like your last one, Hugh Keevans. There's a level of drama, there's a level of prestige there already. I mean, if you are East Kilbride and you're going to Hamilton, or, you know, you mentioned teams like Partick, there are big teams in this, but the real big boys, the Premiership clubs, await for the winners of today.
And that's when the romance of the Cup really does kick in. I mean, Drumchapel are still one up. There can only be, what, 10 minutes maybe left to play. So everyone in Drumchapel, I mean, it's a place where everyone supports Celtic or Rangers, but the idea of calling them Drumchapel United is to bring everyone there together in support of the local team as well. Give them a place in your heart. And if they get to the fourth round draw, everyone will be on their ear waiting for that.
I mean, I've been sent a picture of a female spectator at the game drinking a pint of beer. I have no idea. I can't even remember if that's allowed. Is that allowed at the sort of junior grounds right at the game? Probably not.
Where's she got that from?
Listen, that's the romance of the cup. That's what they mean. When they talk about romance of the cup, that's what they mean.
Yeah,
well, it's in Maryhill, remember.
I know, but it's compulsory to drink a pint in Drumchapel.
They are still one up. In that other game that we were discussing, Partick Thistle, yes, they are trying to progress in the cup and avoid the upset, but they've also got some fan issues going on, and the stand behind the goals is extremely empty. I would say about 50 fans in it. I've not had time to count them, but David Friel sent me a picture. Not too many at all. So those fans making their feelings known on what's going on at the club at the moment. And if you are one of them, Partick Thistle fans, maybe you could give us a call on the open line a bit later. Bring us up to speed on how you're feeling, what's going on at your club, how you see all this playing out. Of course, there is a football match today that you can react to, but if you'd rather talk about some of the off-field things, then you are more than welcome. The open line will be here at 5 o'clock. So we are a bit spread out in terms of kickoff times. I did say the first team through last night were Alloa Athletic. They were pegged back by a Kirk Broadfoot goal for open goal Broomhill. It looked like it might be heading the distance, and then a very late penalty for Alloa means that they are the first team through. The next team through will either be Drumchapel or Edinburgh. They kicked off at 1:30. Drumchapel in the driving seat, and Hamilton East Kilbride was a 2:30 kickoff. So again, we're a bit ahead on that one. It's a big cup fever in Hamilton. There was flares being let off at kickoff, said Andrew McLean, and it was a fairly even game. Last time he updated things, kind of half chances at either end. There are a couple of League Two matches today, by the way, just in case you are interested. But no early Scottish Cup goals, which means we might as well, Hugh.
Yeah.
We might as well do it nice and early. Give the people some thinking time.
The first half teaser with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Can you name the last 7 Scotsmen who have permanently managed a team in the English Premier League and have also only managed...
Oh God, sorry, I shouldn't interrupt the question, but Gordon Dyell is nodding as if that's the question. 7 men who've managed the English Premier League. He just
that was quite easy.
He tutted and nodded his head as if that's a piece of cake.
Well, sorry.
Carry on.
Continue, Mr. Keane.
If you can't distinguish Bonnie Rigg Rose from Lithgow Rose, what chance have you got? I'll start again. Name the last 7 Scotsmen who have permanently managed a team in the English Premier League and have also only managed non-Old Firm teams in Scotland at any point in their career. Now, for example, Alec McLeish does not count. He managed Aston Villa and Birmingham City. That's true. He also managed Hibs and Motherwell, but he was Rangers manager, so that discounts Alec. So the last 7 Scots who have permanently managed a team in the English Premier League and have also only managed non-Old Firm teams in Scotland at any point in their career?
Yes, get them in, please. Looking forward to the answers to that one. At Clyde SSB, it is a race. Let's see how quickly you can do it. Can you beat everyone else to the punchline? So at Clyde SSB.
He's got the question now, he's flying.
No, he's not.
Yeah, we are.
I just saw one that he mouthed to you and it was wrong, so.
No, that's not wrong. Don't shout it out there.
That is wrong. That is wrong. It's very wrong.
How's it wrong?
Because listen to the full clue that you
give it again.
Seven Scotsmen who have permanently managed a team in the English Premier League.
Yeah.
And have also only managed non-Old Firm teams in Scotland at any point in their career.
Who's he managed in Scotland?
One of the ones that you mouthed to Mark Wilson is wrong, okay? Oh. That's all I'm telling you. It's wrong.
No, it's not.
Do you want a bit?
The man next to me has just agreed.
Don't. I couldn't care less what you two think. Well, it's wrong.
Hold on a minute here.
Since when were you two the authority?
Why don't you shout it out and we'll let the listeners...
Get this one here from.
No, it's not.
Owen Coyle.
No.
Well, that was the one I said was wrong.
No, we were discussing another one. Is Owen Coyle wrong, is it?
It's wrong. You know, it's funny you've got that on your list as well, don't you?
Well, Mark's got that, I didn't have that.
Is that wrong?
And straight away, we'll do a wrong one for you. Is that wrong? He's got one cap for the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, so
there we go.
In football terms, Owen Coyle may have been born in the Gorbals, yeah.
He's got
but
a cap
he played
for the Republic of Ireland.
Republic of Ireland.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Listen, try listening.
Yeah, sure. But that one's good. Yeah.
But anyway,
a football nationality and a conventional nationality.
Anyway, at Clyde SSB, right? Let's see who can get all of the answers in the quickest time. Send them over. Seven Scotsmen, football nationality, who've permanently managed in the English Premier League. And they've only managed non-Old Firm teams in Scotland. So get
Speaking
them in, please.
Of Owen Coyle, I mean, what about that one? Peterhead against Queen's Park. Long way to go.
Yeah. Peterhead having a fairly difficult league season. Queen's Park doing fairly well. Separated now by a division as well. So you would expect, albeit on the road, Queen's Park to maybe come back from that one.
Yep. Where is the fourth round draw?
The draw that I'm not sure of.
Must be
Monday after the game.
Yeah, after the game.
Monday after the game, I would have thought. You know, so.
I can't see there being a shock at that game.
Pollock and Ayr.
Ayr are flying at the minute. Yeah, you know, it's different when you get a team who are maybe struggling and can't put a couple of wins together, but Ayr are the opposite. They'll be full of confidence. I think that'll be one that they look at and go, yeah, that's good that we've got that one.
In one of our big cup games this afternoon, we've got one of these.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
I tell a lie. We've got two of these. It is 1-0 to Hamilton Accies. So for anyone who is eyeing up a shock, there's going to need to be a turnaround there, because Andy Ryan has fired high into the net to make it Hamilton Accies 1 East Kilbride 0 as we approach half time. And in the other game, we're featuring 1-0 to Partick Thistle as well. Brian Graham with the goal. So two teams that possibly needed an early goal, Hugh, needed something to settle the nerves. They've both got it, particularly Hamilton Accies.
John Rankin will be delighted, as will Ian McCall at Partick Thistle. The return of Brian Graham last week meant everything. He was out injured, came back last week, and Thistle immediately responded, winning 3-0. For John Rankin, he's not daft. He knows that everyone's looking at his game and thinking that he might fall. So that would be a tremendous relief, but long way to go yet.
Yeah, did any of you have this as your shock?
Shocky. Oh.
Hill of Beath Hawthorn 1, Elgin City 0.
Certainly not.
That would count. That would have to count.
Beath Hawthorn.
Yeah. Never heard of them.
East of Scotland League as well. I'll tell you what.
You should have, if you know your Socky and you know your
Beath Hawthorn.
I'm not 100% sure if this is still the case, but they were managed by someone who was maybe a former teammate of yours.
Teammate of mine, up that way, I would probably say the boy who played in the right wing. Can't remember his name.
Some team
is he a winger?
Midfield. Yeah, kind of midfield type, from what I can remember.
I played with that many.
Jason Dare.
No, he's not the manager of Hilly Beath Hawthorn, is he?
Yeah, I think he is, yeah. Or he certainly was until
very
recently.
Well, is that up near Kinross in that, where that is? Is that Hilly Beath Hawthorn up round about that area? In the map?
Yeah, Google Cowden Beath area, yeah.
Well, you know what they say.
Oh, hello, like beef. Jason. Well, good on Jason.
Because he loves him.
No, it was Jason that obviously had the shot that I scored in the cup final with.
Oh, what a way to make Hill of Beef Hawthorne all about him.
Absolutely. Go on, dear boy.
It certainly was recently. Right now, if it's, if that's changed, well, and you know I've missed it, then I'm sorry. Dare.
Who dares wins? That's it.
Yeah. Good for him. I'm delighted.
I just decided, funny how this is what I do actually love about Saturday afternoons. You go down these rabbit holes. I just decided to Google Jason Dare there just to see what else I could pick up. And apparently he's the nephew of Jim Baxter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that
either. Did you not know that?
I didn't know.
Jim Baxter was from Hillabeath, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And there's a statue there of him. And do you know where the statue is placed?
Right in Jason Dare's garden.
Top of the hill. No.
Outside Scott Brown's house.
Oh, I was unlucky. I went Jason Dare's garden.
Bruni was from Hillabeath, and Jim Baxter's statue was outside his house.
There you go. That's some knowledge for you, isn't it? I tell you what,
I don't know where it comes in. That's worth the petrol money of the day,
but that's worth the petrol money.
Things I never thought we would discuss on today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. That's the beauty of it. If people ask, you know, how do you find this? It's great because you just never know what to expect. Yeah. You never know what's going to come up next. What we do know is that Poland have beaten Saudi Arabia by 2-0 at the World Cup. Mark Wilson, feeling a little bit in terms of the footballing performance. Saudi Arabia probably worth something, but end up getting sucker punched.
Yep, I think they look a good side. I know everyone, that was one of the biggest shocks ever in the World Cup when they beat Argentina, but they showed today that they can actually play, miss numerous chances, and Poland just clinical at the other side. But you read the story that apparently Saudi Arabia players are all getting a Rolls Royce for,
well, that'll inspire you,
beating Argentina. That's so if I played
for Saudi Arabia, they need to give me a train.
Well, they can give you a chauffeur. Maybe the chauffeur's cheaper than a full train.
You're a good lady. You already gave up your car for a train, and your good lady's sitting listening.
Of course, there was a result earlier on. The team with the most obvious links to the SPFL is Australia. We've even got some Scottish-born players in there. They beat Tunisia by 2-0. Speaking of the Scottish-born ones, Harry Suter getting rave reviews.
What a game,
Celtic fans might have been very encouraged by Aaron Moy's performance as well.
Superb.
What a turnaround in his career. I mean, he was going nowhere, Aaron Moy. Now he's in the Celtic side and at the World Cup.
Do you know what I noticed today about him, Hugh? Obviously, lack of games when he came in at Celtic, we all commented on he had to go up to speed. He was absolutely brilliant today, along with Suter. I thought Suter at centre back today
seems to be a set piece specialist as well for Australia. Moy taking everything, he very rarely gets the chance at Celtic, but Daz is right. Suter was incredible. Some of his last ditch tackles, the one at the end of the game, was phenomenal. Delighted for the big man.
Are you enjoying the World Cup?
Oh, I'm back. The Brazilians have brought me back.
I don't know if you knew this, Hugh. Gordon laid down an ultimatum to the footballing world on Thursday night. It was 0-0 Brazil-Serbia at half time, and he said that if Brazil did not get their fingers out in the second half, he was boycotting the rest of the World Cup. That was it. He was done if Brazil didn't entertain him. Apparently Richarlison took that personally, produced that wonderful
goal
of the tournament so far.
So far,
would we say?
Yeah,
Gabby for Spain.
That was nice. I liked that as well.
I liked the Saudi Arabia one against Argentina.
So you're back.
I liked the Australian one today with the touch. I thought it was brilliant. So you're back. The Brazilians have brought me back.
There have been some dull games as well.
Terrible. I'll tell you what I enjoyed. I enjoyed the Wales and Iran game. Bad result for Wales, obviously, but I thought it was an entertaining game of football. England game was poor, really poor.
I noticed, because I was checking the scores when I was out and about yesterday, did Iran score in the 98th and 101st minutes?
There was 9 minutes added on, and they scored in the 98th, and then I switched it off when they scored in the 98th, didn't even know it went to 2-0, but incredible. I mean, Wales, I've got a soft spot for Wales because I lived there. For a bit, and I've got Welsh friends.
I was
friends.
In the bath longer than you lived in Wales.
But do you know what I was thinking? Because part of that is obviously there has been a lot more added time at this World Cup because they are, you know, stopping the clock for any major stoppages and like substitutions and goals. And I think VAR calculates how much time needs added on for that sort of thing as well. And it's leading to 8 and 9 and 10 and 12 minutes added time. Is that going to happen? Is that the way forward? Is that something that will come into our game?
I quite like it, right? I quite like that element that we're seeing more football, what we should be seen. There's less time wasting. In fact, it just gets eradicated. I don't think it will come into your game. I think
really,
I think domestically. I'm sure I read something that the English FA have already said that won't go into their games.
I've often wondered, right, and this is the sort of boring stuff I wonder about, because on one hand I'm a little bit of a traditionalist, where I think, like, you know what, football's good and just leave it alone, and it's fine the way it is. I have often wondered that if one of the main radical changes that one day, maybe miles off, is whether they would ever consider more of a stopped clock type scenario, you know, like rugby,
yeah,
or like basketball. Because if you were to really take a step back and step away from what I've just done in terms of being a creature of habit and football's fine the way it is it not a bit weird that in a league where every team plays 38 games or whatever, some games the ball's in play for 45 minutes and in other games the ball's in play for 65 minutes? That surely is a completely different impact on football. I just wondered if ever one day they would change that. Not saying I would be for it.
You hold control over a some teams, the way they play, like we're just saying, time wasting, managers deciding,
or is that just part of it?
Then? No, I would like to see it in our leagues. I really would.
What, a proper stopped clock,
I like the idea.
Really?
I like the stopped clock. Yeah, because you know where you are. There's no, you know, you get to the 8th, 9th minute, you're waiting for the fourth official to put up the board that says 9, 10, 11, whatever minutes. At least you know you're playing to 90 minutes. I think it would build a sense.
What about the match day experience? Our people here in Scotland are already feeling miserable about VAR. If you give them a stop clock into the bargain, you're going to drive people away.
Yeah. Again, and just in the business of being balanced, though, maybe you're actually getting more for your money because you're seeing the ball in play more.
Yeah.
You know, it's the opposite. You're not seeing the ball getting fished off the stand every 2 minutes. You're not seeing everything getting run down deliberately. You're actually seeing more football.
And then there'll come the moment when, in the 104th minute, a goal is scored, and they'll say, "What kind of what football?"
But if it's a stop clock, it would be 90 minutes. The clock would be stopped when that ball goes out of play, or there's time wasting, or there's a foul, or there's somebody rolling about the ground. Just get stopped, so you know you're playing to 90. That's fair, I think. Keeps the ball in play, keeps the fans happy.
I'm with you, Mark. I'm going to go for that option.
Will we put it in place?
Yeah.
The Socky Junior's dream is dying.
No, it's not died yet, yeah.
So if you get enough time to hang about for a stop clock, you don't fancy it?
No, I'll go with that. I quite like it. Only in the house,
Or at least this middle ground then of just getting the longer additional time, you think that's a goer?
Then I could leave for part in the 90th minute.
Right, I'll tell you what, let's have a bit of fun with this then, right? See, since it's the World Cup, things are a bit quiet. Let's see how creative we can get. If you could change a rule about the way football's operated, the way it's run, anything at all, I don't care how outrageous these are, let's just have a bit of fun. If you were in charge, what would you change? And I know some of you don't have a sense of humour when it comes to football. I'm expecting all sorts of sarcastic responses to this, but if we can allow ourselves a little bit of fun, a little bit of creativity, to think, right, what would you change? Because think about
anything.
It, there was a day when you didn't have subs. There was a day when you didn't have numbers in the back of your shirt. There was a day when the goalkeeper could pick the ball up.
He's just rhyming off your ear.
Why are you looking at me? Continue looking at me.
There was a day when you didn't have VAR, and all of these things might have seemed outrageous, unthinkable. So if you would change one thing for the benefit of the game, what would it be? And let's see how creative we can get. Maybe you are on board with this longer stoppage time. Maybe you want a stopped clock. Or maybe you've got something completely left field. And to be honest, that's what I'm hoping for. If you were in charge, what rules, regulations, anything else, what would you change about the game? And whilst you get your answers in to me at Clyde SSB, let's get a halftime report from Hamilton with Andrew.
Yeah, Hamilton 1, East Kilbride 0, the half-time score here. And I think the visitors will be disappointed that they're behind in this one, because it's been an even game. There's been chances at both ends, but Andy Ryan has the only goal of the first half so far. There were a couple of early chances for Aki's Curtis Lyle making a save from Dario Zanata, and a good block stopping Lewis Smith getting a shot on target as well. Hamilton goalkeeper Ryan Fulton then had to get down low at the other end to turn Neil McLaughlin's shot from the edge of the box out for a corner. Fulton also had to tip Bob McHugh's shot over after the former Motherwell man skipped by a couple of challenges in the box. Openings continued at both ends. Lewis Smith heading over at the back post for the Ackies about half an hour in. Dario Zanata then hit the post from a tight angle. Hamilton were getting closer. They then got their goal. 7 minutes before the break, the ball fell to Andy Ryan in the box. He turned and fired it high into the net for the opener. The home side are ahead, but East Kilbride will definitely feel that they're still in with a shout in this game. The half-time score is Hamilton 1, East Kilbride 0.
Here we go. The Ackies getting the start they were looking for. Hugh Keevans.
Halfway there. And,
Let me stop you right there. I know you don't mind being interrupted for one of these. Goal flashes with Clydebuilt Home Improvements. I guess any team from a lower division beating a higher division side would be a shock, just maybe not drastic. But Airdrie are one up at Dundee. It's a great low drive from Callum Gallagher, not that one that comes on after us during midweek shows. It's the other one, and he has scored from the edge of the box to put Airdrie one up at Dens.
Well, the Dundee fans who have, you know, watched some performances that have been terrible this season, but also drove the Rangers fans to boo their team when the Rangers only beat Dundee 1-0 at Ibrox, they will not be taking that well. But Rhys McCabe, 30 years old, as Roger Hanna told us, and has great self-belief, and he's on the park today, so he can influence matters as a player. That's a shocker for Gary Boer.
Yeah, by the way, Callum Gallagher last week was at the Airdrie Kitman. Now run out of a letter for
did you see this? In fact, it was our colleague Andrew McLean put it on Twitter. They ran out of G's, Hugh, so they just drew one on.
That's good. Yeah,
it was Gallagher, and then they drew the G.
That's a great thing.
I can't concentrate fully. The Drumchapel game must be over now. Surely it's 21 minutes past three. It kicked off at 1:30.
Maybe that extra. Yeah, extra minutes. They're taking the World Cup
to find the ball.
Time.
Oh, there's another one in the Cup that is probably following league form, if you like. This certainly wouldn't be a shock. Morton 1, Queen of the South 0, Robbie Muirhead. Yeah.
Boogie Emery, great job there. George Bowie, the boom boom music, it's all working, it's all coming together.
Yep, doing very well.
Right, that's out there on Twitter. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard, we're talking about added time at the World Cup and so on, stopped clocks, whatever else. You know, what sort of change would you make? It's just a bit of fun. Like, we've got a World Cup break, so wondering what you would do. How would you change the game? Anything, any suggestions welcome. Different rule, different regulations. I mean, I did say that Scottish football and its lack of, you know, sense of humour with these things. Frankie says foreign referees. Not really what we were thinking, Frankie. We're thinking something a bit more out there. Not something that we tried before and didn't work. Do you know what I mean? Paul, however, scrap the offside rule so we get more goals and better atmosphere. Well, like that, just to go right back to where you could just start, just like you used to do in the park.
Well, funny, and at my day, right, we had the, remember the Driver Cup final, Hugh, when they had the offside round about the 18-yard line?
Yeah.
And you could stand right up there. Do you not remember that, lads?
They drew the line right across the park.
They drew the line, yes.
Yeah.
And I was actually going to mention that, and they experimented with it, Driver Cup final. And
so you could only be offside after a certain point.
Right, but you were well up the pitch, so it stretched the full game.
I was going to say, that would make the middle of the park much more interesting and probably.
So why didn't it work then? Why have they not gone for it?
I don't know, Gordon. I've no idea. You can only ask the Biebs to explain that situation to you.
But
I don't know what the Biebs
I think he meant Beaks. But he tried to avoid that word because it brings back bad memories for him.
I did, I sort of got mid-sense. I've opened a can of worms for myself right there, man.
I mean, wow. Roger Hanna. Oh, do you know what? It's funny this, because we've had one of the replies on Twitter already is from Buffalo Alberts, who says we need to stop Americanizing the game. And Roger Hannock, you know, he's a big NFL fan, isn't he? His suggestion is 3 timeouts per manager per game. He says,
you know what, it was in the forefront of my mind, that a timeout, not 3 timeouts, but a timeout.
And a winter day, and you're sitting there and you're frozen and you're getting
What is a timeout? How long do you get? Don't really know, but say you get 2 minutes.
Oh, full time. Drumchapel United 1 FC Edinburgh 0.
They'll be dancing on
Kinfon's Drive.
Kinfon's Drive. I knew there was a street name in there somewhere. That is an outstanding result. Yeah. Let's not forget that. Drumchapel United, West of Scotland League, beating FC Edinburgh, well established, well up our SPFL Pyramid, and they've been knocked out by Drumchapel United. I think Drumchapel United are actually one of the few teams, this is their first ever season in, yep, in the Scottish Cup. I don't even think they've got like the full Scottish FA licensing requirements.
No, they don't.
They had to start right at the very, very, very start. There were some teams that were eligible for a bye in the preliminary round. They weren't. They had to go straight into that and work their way. And they've just beaten FC Edinburgh to get into round four of the Scottish Cup. That's,
well,
fantastic.
I'm going up to Drummond Tuesday to see my brother. He still lives there. So, well, we'll still be
celebrating.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, amazing. I asked you where they would usually play the game, and the story was
they're
Donald
Jewer
Sports Centre, isn't it?
Yeah, they're changing the pitch. They're putting down a new plastic pitch. But the dream is still there. Fourth round, Drumchapel United will play, and then everyone will hold their breath to see if it's Celtic or Rangers. So, well done the Drum.
Well done. I'll tell you what, and just our listeners never disappoint. That's what I love about Saturdays. We just, you know, like to get you involved. Your suggestions are much better than ours. So we did ask you on Twitter, what new rules would you introduce to football? What changes to the regulations would you make just to spice things up and take things forward? And even if it is a bit of fun, even if it's something you think is unrealistic, Charlie, just quite simple, whoever wins the penalty has to take it.
I'll leave that.
Will that add something?
Yeah,
not really. Like, if somebody's lined in and he's done his ankle,
if I'm not injured,
your team doesn't matter if you're limping.
I like that.
Well, if it's Giacomakis, you know the outcome.
Well, it depends if it's against Livingston or not. Of course, that's like where he has his major blank by the looks of it.
Different colour card to sit in between yellow and red, maybe?
Orange then.
Oh, an orange card or a sin bin.
Traffic light?
There you go, the traffic light system. He's came up with a system. You know, there is some decisions that you think.
Sort of sin bin.
Scenario. Sin bin, maybe, yeah.
It doesn't deserve to be sent off, but could be doing with a cooling down for
cooling
10
down
minutes.
Period,
would it be too harsh to ban Dave Galloway from McDonald's? That.
He doesn't like McDonald's, yeah, that's the thing.
Dave.
It's wimpy.
Dave's a wimpy man.
Dave says, introduce the stop clock, book time wasting properly and not in the way it's done in Scotland. Motherwell time wasted 40 minutes in one game and received yellow cards, zero yellow cards for it. That sounds a bit bitter, that, Dave, to be honest.
Time wasted 40 minutes?
No, I think that's the thing. They didn't time waste 40 minutes in the traditional sense. It's more like that's the ball in play time. But to be fair to Dave, and I'm being sarcastic because of the Motherwell thing, but that is what you would be looking to fix, basically, or boost would be, you know, the ball in play time if you had that sort of stop clock scenario. No? I mean, again, I get that a lot of this does carry these tones of thinking that we get everything wrong. And Dave says, book time wasting properly and not in the way it's done in Scotland. But prior to this World Cup, I don't think we see this level of attention paid to adding on additional time anywhere.
No.
You know, they're doing it at this World Cup, but it's not like I see it in every other league, but somehow Scotland gets this wrong.
Yeah. What about when you're talking about Americanising things? What about like a basketball? You get a certain time.
We need to use your hands
effort.
And
no,
to get to the goal.
Yeah. I think they're taking us too far.
No points for a draw.
On the scoreboard,
No points for a draw.
Any draw.
I know what you're going to come out with. Well, what happens if a small team goes away? But
no,
it's
not
all about
what I was going to say.
Attacking football.
What I was going to say is maybe for a 0-0 draw. No?
Ah, well, gives the fans goals.
But you could have a sensational 0-0 draw with two goalkeepers.
Exactly.
Sorry, I thought he was going to nail me there. So I had to get in.
You went in the defensive, didn't you? Right away. But sometimes, is there not such a thing as a good 0-0 draw?
Ah, very seldom, Gordon.
A very sophisticated defence. Exactly, that was the best 0-0 draw I've ever seen.
Imagine we didn't get a point for that.
I know. No, because we... look at this World Cup. Tell me a good 0-0. None yet.
I mean, I must admit, right, some of these are, I think we're getting close with some of them. Look, they're bound to do something with time if we're looking at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Whether it is that, whether we ever get to full stop clock or not. Andrew McLean, our colleague, says each player fitted with electric shock pads and 11 fans from the opposition team assigned to one player each to get one opportunity to shock them in the match. So this guy,
what does he do with his weekends, by the way?
I'll leave him in charge of the show for one night and he wants to be electric
That's a troubling mindset. That's someone who has weird dreams.
Andrew McLean, defend yourself.
Oh, imagine it, one-on-one with a goalkeeper.
your team are 1-0 up and the opposition are going through one on, like, on goal, you've got the chance, the striker's throwing goal, you just get a chance to shock him and he goes down. It's great, I love it. It's just, I was going for as ridiculous as possible.
That's true, I did ask for ridiculous.
You do know you can go to prison for that kind of thing.
I think we'll leave that one in the undecided folder. I don't know if we might need to work on that one going forward, but a good response to this on Twitter, I must admit. Sean White says, bring back the old MLS style penalty shootouts.
Running up for the halfway line.
I don't think, was it actually the halfway line? I think it was like midway into the half and they had to run towards the goal. They had X amount of seconds to score and the goalie would run out and try and charge them down.
That's exciting.
I like that. I remember when I was a kid and I was at Dundee United. So what would have been 13, 14, we went up to a game at Dens Park at half time. Three's got wheeled on to do that in front
of
the crowd.
He used to do it at Hamden, I remember, in finals.
See the
stuff.
Pressure? Yeah. On you as a young kid doing that, and all the crowd, Dundee fans obviously wanting you to miss. Ooh,
would you have went round the goalkeeper or hit it early?
No, I hit it early.
Did you score?
I scored.
I scored.
Gave I think it what a big we'll silence do, right, one. Is we'll keep collecting these suggestions and you lot can vote for your favourite suggestion later on. It's on the penalty theme then. See, mine are a bit more boring. Mine are just like kind of close to what happens now, just with a slight tweak, but maybe that makes them more realistic. What about no rebounds from a penalty? You get a penalty, if you score, you score. If you miss, ball goes dead and you start again. Then you don't need to worry about encroachment and all that stuff, and looking as a player got his one stud hanging into the edge of the 18 yard box.
It should be an advantage enough to have a penalty, a shot for the 12 yards, shouldn't it? Yeah.
Or is it exciting when the rebound comes out and you see everyone?
But we watched the Saudi Arabia game, by the way. What a save it was.
All of these ideas, you're going to bring the country into civil unrest if you don't stop this.
No, listen, it's good to get creative, Hugh. As I said, imagine when you had started out, I said, well, one day, Hugh, you'll be able to pass it. You won't be able to pass it back to the keeper. He won't be allowed to pick it up.
That's okay, but
the game has to evolve. And if that is due to electric shock collars, then so be it.
I never thought we'd be discussing.
When did that rule come in, Gordon? You can't pick up the goalkeeper. I wonder if I ever played in that
90s.
Did I play?
You must have played.
Of course you. I'm going to say 92.
I think around then. That would be my guess.
Where is Darvel?
Darvel's Ayrshire. Lovely. By the way, best dressing rooms in Ayrshire.
They're giving it a right go. 2-1 up at Montrose.
They were 2-0 up, I think, were they? No, they got pegged back. Sorry, yeah, 2-1 Darvel are 2-1 up at Montrose.
You should see their dressing rooms are sensational.
Elgin City 2 Hill of Beath Hawthorn. Jason Dare's got some work to do. Ooh. And Inverness have just equalised. Stirling Albion were in front thanks to Dale Carrick, but Wallace Duffy has pulled one back there. So goals are going in the Scottish Cup. Right, I'm going to get back to this. I'm going to need to give it a break because it's so busy on that front. Can you keep your suggestions coming in? What rule, what regulation would you change about Scottish football for the betterment of the game, even if it's just for a bit of fun? We're trying not to take ourselves so seriously. I mean, I'm looking at the Twitter replies and some of you are struggling with that notion, but that's fine.
Andrew McLean is going to come up with custodial sentences next if you miss a penalty.
Patrick McCafferty, in each half have a 5-minute period where any goal scored during that time count double.
What?
Why? I'm going to need more, Patrick. What, just like a big klaxon goes off? What was the member? Was it the old Budweiser advert? Other alcoholic drinks are available. It's like added time multi-ball. And they, like, it was just a joke, and they put like 20 balls. If no one scores, then never mind. Right. Wasted.
See, I'm waiting for Roger Hanna's halftime report now that you've told me he's a big NFL fan.
And I'm waiting. NFL geek, I think, is the phrase.
Aired rehab the football
in the zone.
You remind us of your teaser because
we got it.
Well, I don't think any of the listeners have got all of them correct.
Dazzler and Mark have done really well on it so far.
Okay.
Name the last 7 Scotsmen who have permanently managed a team in the English Premier League and have also only managed non-Old Firm teams in Scotland at any point in their career.
The most common wrong answer by a mile.
This is yours.
Derek, Mark Tiernan, Catherine, and many, many others. George Burley is incorrect.
Add us to that list. We've taken that off.
I'll tell you why. He's 8th. It's the last 7, you know, in time order.
Well.
So he's 8th. So he ticks all the boxes, but he's not within the apart from the main one. He's not in the last 7. So keep your answers coming in there, I'll do some more wrong ones for it. Is there still no one on the podium?
I think we're there.
But that should help you folks, right? So there's no George Burley, so get rid of him, and it's the other seven. Lots of you are coming up. G.H. Ray thinks that Gordon McQueen might be one, Hugh.
No.
He thinks Joe Jordan might be one.
No.
Got a major problem with G.H. Ray's nationalities here. He's gone Roberto McMartinez, who did play for Motherwell, of course, but no, he's not one. KPJ's given it a good go, but he's also thrown in Billy McKinley.
Nope.
He's gone George Burley as well. He's gone Graham Alexander, former Motherwell manager. And I think actually Mark Wilson, Gordon DL do have them all by the look of your paper.
Yeah, well done.
That's just offered me a fist pump there.
You're on the podium.
I'm comfortable.
You're first.
Yeah, okay.
That's good work for us. That was a team effort.
Well,
I got three, you got four.
So some of you are really close, like Music Mav, for instance. You've not got George Burley's not in it, and neither's Owen Coyle, because he played once for Republic of Ireland. But you've got the other five, so you're not too far away. GMAC as well must be pretty close.
Darvel are going to join Drumchapel on the podium today. They're 3-1 up now at Montrose. Brilliant.
David Moyes wouldn't be on it because he's not managed
in Scotland.
Any Scottish team at all.
Nope.
GMAC, so you need to get the thinking cap back on there at Clyde SSB. Did someone just mention Darvel?
Yeah,
Darvel,
yeah. 3-1.
Is Darren Henderson still the manager of Darvel? Is it Darvel he's the manager?
No,
no, it's Harrowford, isn't it? Sorry, Mark.
Is it Mick Kennedy, the Darvel manager,
Kennedy,
I think? So yeah, 3-1 up. Darvel up and throws Ross Caldwell on 33 minutes. A great game, actually. Treated to four goals early on. You don't need your electric shock collar or your added time multi-ball to liven that one up. So that's good. That's good to know. That one's surviving just fine without us changing any of the rules.
Is Andrew thinking of introducing landmines in the penalty area?
Did you see one from... This actually caught my eye a couple of weeks ago, and in the back of my head, maybe that's what inspired me this afternoon, because I thought this was because he's an authority. Gerard Piqué, did you see what he came out with a couple of weeks ago?
No.
I'm going to have to remember it word for word, which is awkward. It was something along the lines of that penalties is too cruel. It's just too cruel a way to decide, you know, a World Cup or a Champions League or whatever. It's just not right. So you get to a point in extra time, and then at 5-minute intervals or so, something, one player from each team gets removed. So eventually you're playing 7-a-side on the 11-a-side pitch, and you still need to score and win conventionally, but you're not going to that so-called lottery of a penalty. But the space opens up a little bit, and eventually you get a winner.
And what if the players just keep going and going and going?
No.
Well, you're not, isn't it
1v1 in a
5 minutes
long, long shooty?
Take the goalies off.
Get the goalies off. Yeah.
Backy only.
Gerard Piqué should just stick to his retirement and all his Champions Leagues.
I don't think that's that outrageous.
I think we should get him a seat next to Andrew McLean.
7v7 after just playing 120 minutes.
Yeah, but it's not going to last very long, but that's the point then. It's not going to last very long at that point.
Players complain already that they're playing too many games and
it's
exhausted.
Not going to last very long.
Penalties is better than that. Is it better drama in the penalties?
No, I do agree that I think it's very unfair. The guys going up there with the pressure, one penalty kick, really could ruin your career. We still talk about guys like Pearce and Waddle down in England missing the penalty kicks, you know. So I just think that there's another way, but I don't know.
So you and Gerard Piqué are teaming up
on
that?
Yeah, I think we could tweak it, me and Gerardo.
Okay.
I think we could tweak it if we get our heads together.
An unlikely duo.
Don't think he would like that.
Pearson Waddle
and getting the heads together.
They did alright out of those missed penalties. Then the dad bought for a pizza.
That was Gareth Southgate.
With a bag over his head. Remember that?
Clove Rangers 2, Dunny Pace 0, Jerry McDonough. And there has been a red card. Two red cards?
What?
Two red cards at Partick Thistle against Kelty. Joe Cardle and Ross Docherty, both very harsh, says David Friel. Now there's been a bit of a bust up. He says Stevie Lawless was involved as well. So we're thistled down to nine men. Both down to ten. Yeah, sorry, I'm forgetting. It must have been a bust up there.
Joe Cardo's brother's a professional boxer, so he passed down some tips. Obviously.
Forgetting is the ex-Partick Thistle. He's confused me there. Yeah, Ross Docherty of Thistle, Joe Cardle of Kelty, both sent off, both very harsh, according to David Field, and down to ten men.
Well, this is something that you've been advocating. Take players off.
Yeah, why not?
That's 10 aside.
I know we've not seen it, and David might tell us differently, but that screams like there's been a coming together, maybe a foul, there's been a bust up, and that would be the perfect moment to say, look, cooling off period, five minutes, go and sit on the side and come back on, unless the two of them are swinging punches at each other, then slightly different.
The sin bin brought
in. The sin bin. You like the sin bin?
Oh, aye, fans want to see players, 11 players on the pitch.
I do agree.
By the way, Ewan McMillan's obviously, this was before we suggested it as well, through Gerard Piqué. No draws after 90 minutes. If it's still a draw, every player from each team is removed. Every minute, a player from each team is removed until a goal goes in. And Stephen CW has clearly thought about this because these are quite sensible. And see you lot saying maybe refs should apply the rules properly. I see you, but honestly, we're just not being that serious. We're just having a bit of fun. Lighten up. Stephen CW says accidental handball in the free kick in the box is an indirect free kick.
Yeah, quite like that. You know, I do like indirect free kicks.
Look at the drama we've had. Guys don't even know the ball's hitting their hand and they're getting a penalty against them. No subs allowed in injury time. So it'll be another one for sort of managing the clock. 90 minutes, and well, here we are then. This is similar to how we started. 90 minutes is changed to 70 minutes, but the clock is stopped every time the ball is dead and out of play.
60 minutes, 30-30.
And Stephen's last suggestion, Stephen's far too sensible for us. There is no shock collar in sight. The full body needs to be offside to be offside.
I like that. I mean, the offside decision now is getting...
Well, it was Argentina, wasn't it? You saw that the shoulder, because I get the thought process, you can score with your shoulder, but the shoulder's off, and because of the way that the player was leaning, his feet were like a good bit onside. We're not talking, his feet were miles back, but the shoulder was off, so there might be something in those. Yeah. Stephen's your type of man, isn't
I'm
he?
Having
More
that
sensible.
One. I'm having that one.
The indirect free kick for me is the best one so far. I think that's good, and it still creates drama in the box. I love seeing indirect free kicks in the box where you've got a defensive wall all lined up on the line and then it's touched to the side. Very rarely goes in, but you still got a good opportunity. Free shot on goal from 10 yards out.
Right, remember, you three are going to have to vote on what's the best suggestion by the end of the show. Something that we can take to IFAB and lobby them to change.
I thought you were going to say take it to IKEA.
It's all kicking off at Thistle. So now Brian Graham and Tam Aware have clashed. They're getting a lecture and a yellow. But weirdly, when Joe Cardle and Ross Docherty, they've been sent off, they're both walking off together, almost like bemused. There was a coming together, but neither of them think they've done anything near enough to be sent off. So both teams down to 10 in that one. Inverness 2, Stirling 1, turnaround there. Max Ram, producer Callum, still no one else apart from Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale have got this teaser. I'm going to need to extend it. I'll extend it
what
to
did
during
we win?
Nothing. I'll extend it to during the break. Remind us of the question, and I'm going to need to give clues then. Listen carefully.
Name the last seven Scotsmen who have permanently managed a team in the English Premier League and have also only managed non-Old Firm teams in Scotland at any point in their career.
Right, Jim Jeffries is not on it either.
Not on it.
He's too far back to be in the last seven. So here are your clues. There is one who is still managing in the Scottish Premiership. There is another who has a certain other high profile Scottish football managerial post. There is one who is an absolute legend of the game. The legend of the game, you could say. There is another who perhaps used to manage a team in the South Lanarkshire area, since has gone down south. There's a Mark Wilson, producer Callum, Dundee United connection there with another one. There's even one that's an old pal of Gordon Dl's. And the last one once won a Champions League for a German team.
If they can't get much of that, they just can't keep up. We're streets ahead of these.
Read the second half teaser. I'm fed up waiting about it.
At Clyde SSB, there we are. The journey hasn't gotten in the way. Falkirk are 1-0 up at Wick Academy just before the break. Dunfermline are absolutely cruising against Forfar. Again, you know, that replicates league form. Joshua Edwards,
I've just looked up where FC Edinburgh stand at the moment. They're third, well, you'd say joint second top of League One.
Yeah.
And they've been knocked out by Drumchapel.
That's what I said. I know everyone's not, loads of people are, by the way, so I don't mean to sound patronising, but people maybe think everything below the SPFL sort of, you know, merges into one, but it's worth bearing in mind, sitting below that, you've got Lowland and Highland League, which are sort of seen as being equals, and you can argue that amongst yourselves, because they play off against each other for the chance to come up. And then below that is when you get your West of Scotland's, your East of Scotland's, so that's where Dumbarton are, Drumchapel are, not yet in the Lowland League even, and to knock out a team doing well in League One.
It's astonishing.
It's fantastic. Right, we've got one of these just before the break. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. And it's an equaliser for Dundee. It's a cross from the left. Zach Rudden went up with the keeper, and Dean Linus then dropped the ball for Paul McMullen to provide the simple finish into the back of the net. So we are level there in that one. Andrew McLean's pointing out as well, he's right, West of Scotland from Chapel are the second tier of that. So it's like the seventh tier of, of football all in. So quite something. Quite something.
That game at Dens was always going to be like that. I felt tight, very tight. I think Dundee will end up edging it though in the second half.
Big call from Mark there. I thought we'd have got more goals this afternoon so far, I've got to say.
Well, Darvel are doing the best, 3-1 up at Montrose.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see if we get any more before the break. We're still looking for your suggestions, things you would change about football, things you would tweak. Just having a bit of fun really on the back of the fact the World Cup's been, you know, extending the clock quite drastically. Do we ever get to a stop clock type scenario? Do you want sin bins? Do you want managerial timeouts, stop clock approach, orange cards? What else have we had? We've had some truly spectacular ones that are very out there, but that's okay, I don't mind that.
Andrew McLean should get it for being for being the saddest of the day.
Any goalie, says Mitchell Anderson, any defender can handle the ball inside the 6 yard box.
Back he can save. I like that. It was the old days. Last man back, he can save. Living guys out running about with their gloves on.
Aye, no goalies.
No goalies. No goalies. Backy only.
You've just taken out a full position.
A kick in
guys
from the
that have made their career and you've wiped them out.
Kick in from the throw-in, you can kick it into the box from the shy line.
Patrick O'Hagan says, hits it, gets it. Cost of living crisis, saves money on lost footballs. So if you put it out the stadium, the number 9 has to go. Studs on, clunking down the pavement. Away to, I quite like that. That might be my favourite, Patrick. It's half time at Dens Park. Luckily, we can talk about actual, real football, not the hypothetical stuff with Roger.
Yeah, and luckily for Dundee, the level just before the break, Dundee 1, Airdrie 1, and there's a palpable sense of relief on all four sides of Dens Park, because for a lot of this first half it looked as if the Diamonds might be coming up here for a Scottish Cup upset. They threatened inside 2 minutes, a fine strike by Justin Devaney from the edge of the box, and it acquired a good save by the Dundee goalkeeper Ian Lawler. Dundee took time to settle. Dean Wyneth had to push away a free kick from Paul McMullen, and a great cross into the box from the on-loan Rangers midfielder Ben Williams, who needed a very good clearance by Ewan Devaney. But then suddenly Airdrie took the lead. 21 minutes, the ball worked to Callum Gallagher on the edge of the box. The former Rangers striker slammed it low into the bottom corner just inside the post, giving Lawler no chance. Dundee really needed to up their game, and in 23 minutes a spectacular effort by Zach Rudden required a spectacular save by Linus to tip it away from just underneath the bar. Cammy Kerr had a low drive across the face of goal in 27 minutes, and then in 31 Rudden teed up Max Anderson in the box, but it was a weak shot and easily held by Linus. Max Anderson next to threaten again in 43 minutes, this time flashing a shot over the top from Paul McMullen's corner, and just when it looked as if Airdrie might hold on to their lead until half time, there was an equaliser just moments before the whistle. Cammy Kerr making progress down the left, ball into the box, goalkeeper Linus went up along with Zach Rudney, spilled the ball, it fell for Paul McMullen, and last week's match winner against Hamilton kept his composure, took a touch and slammed it into the back of the net. Half time at Dens, Dundee 1, Airdrie 1.
Good game, Roger Hannah. What about David Friel at Firhill for Partick Thistle against Kelty Hearts?
Half time, Gordon, Partick 1, Kelty 0. Crazy game. The first thing I want to say is, why can't everyone be friends? We've got protests off the pitch at Firhill, we've got bus stops on it. Both teams are now down to 10 men. Brian Graham's goal separates the sides, but it all kicked off in 38 minutes when Thistle's Stephen Wallace clashed with Kelty's Joe Cardo. Partick captain Ross Docherty didn't really need to get involved, but he did. He had a spat with Joe Cardo, who was on the ground. There were suggestions there might have been a stamp and then a reaction from Cardo. I wasn't so sure. And both teams were absolutely stunned when referee Craig Napier ran over and sent them both off. They even walked down the touchline together. They both looked bemused. But the referee obviously thought they deserved the reds. Brian Graham then had a coming together just after that with Tamar Weir before the break, and he was potentially lucky to avoid a red card. So it's getting a bit feisty here in terms of the football. We wonder if those fan protests would affect Thistle, but the answer is no so far. They started really well, forced a couple of corners, and the first goal came from one of them in 8 minutes. Cole McKinnon's delivery was flicked on, and Brian Graham finished off from close range. Thistle had loads of the ball after that, but they were struggling to create clear chances. Harry Milne's been excellent on the left-hand side, but his final ball has let him down far too often. Kelty do have a lot of talent on the pitch, as I said. Jamie Bird Jonas should have done better when the ball fell to him inside the box. Alfredo Aguiman was then released over the top in 23 minutes, and he had the pace to get away from the Thistle defence, but the striker's finish was absolutely woeful, and Jamie Sneddon made an easy save. After that, it was a bit scrappy. We had the red cards. You do wonder if there will be more fireworks after the break as well, as after the way that period finished. Half time, Partick 1, Kelty 0.
So that's the way it sits in our feature matches. Of course, it's a bit of a staggered kick-off schedule today because Hamilton East Kilbride kicked off at 2:30, so the second half is underway there. Hamilton Accies do still lead, and we will keep you up to speed with that one. I'll do a full roundup of the scores, and there is still one place left on the podium. So go on, Hugh, one more read of the question.
Can you name the last 7 Scotsmen who have permanently managed a team in the English Premier League and have also only managed non-Old Firm teams in Scotland at any point in their career?
Give you the answers and the winners next. The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Right, let's do a roundup of the half-time scores in the Scottish Cup. We'll start with a full-time score, actually, and what a result it was. We could make history on here as well, maybe, when the open line is upon us. Any Drumchapel United fans want to phone in? Because what a famous result. They've finished there 1-0 against FC Edinburgh and are through to the next round of the Scottish Cup. Now, Hamilton Accies 1, East Kilbride 0. That one's into the second half. And at the break, as follows. I don't think I'll read them all because there's so many, but maybe some interesting ones for you. Local team to us, Albion Rovers 0, University of Stirling 0, Dundee 1, Airdrie 1, big scoreline, Dunfermline 3, Forfar 0. What else have we got coming in? Montrose 1, Darvel 3. That's quite an interesting scoreline as well. Morton 1, Queen of the South 1, Partick Thistle 1, Kelty Hearts 0, Peterhead 0, Queen's Park 1, Raith 0, Auchinleck 0, Wick Academy 0, Falkirk 1, Clyde Dumbarton is a 7:45 kickoff. There is still one place left on the podium, so I will put you out of your misery. Let's remind ourselves of that first half teaser. The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online. Incredible scenes on the first half teaser, by the way, because actually, do you know Mark Wilson and Gordon DL? You are top of the podium. There's like
thank
no
you.
One else.
No surprise.
Competed with you. And there's still an empty space as well, but we've given it as long as we possibly can. Hugh Keevans, what is the question?
Name the last 7 Scotsmen who have permanently managed a team in the English Premier League and have also only managed non Old Firm teams in Scotland at any point in their career.
They are
Paul Lambert.
Uh-huh.
Alec Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Malky Mackay. Steve Clark. Sir Alex Ferguson. Billy Davies. And Paul Loggy Stirrup.
Well done. Yes. Well done, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale. You got them all right. You were the fastest. The only other person on the podium was Greg's Gardens. Well done to you, Greg's. We couldn't even get anyone else on there. So hopefully we've got better luck on the second half teaser. And we do have one of these. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. No suspense because it's half time in the 3 o'clock game, so you know it must be the other one, and it's Hamilton Accies. Doesn't look like there's going to be a shock there. 2-0 up now against East Kilbride. Andy Ryan with his second, a nice finish after collecting the through ball, and it looks like that might be that. Hamilton 2, East Kilbride 0.
Well done, John Rankin. He went into the game under pressure, bottom of the championship. People looking at that match as the one that would provide a shock, and it wasn't. So, well, it still got time to play, of course, but 2-0 is putting the match beyond East Kilbride.
Okay, we'll get the second halves of the 3 o'clock games next.